Hello, my name is Jonathan Gillers. I'm a communication major here at Clark University and the lead editor and sound producer of this podcast. Professor of Philosophy, Norm Freund, will be narrating the following guided tour.
Welcome to the Clark University Heritage Tour. This is Norm Freund, and I will be serving as your guide. You have accessed the core values tested in FIRE segment of this tour. This part of the tour begins in the Sacred Heart Chapel. If you are not yet at that location, please proceed there before continuing. Devastating fire. The unanticipated fire on the campus destroyed the convent where the teaching sisters lived and also completely destroyed the chapel. What was the year? 1849. Many people know that portion of the Clark story that includes the 1984 fire, but in point of fact, a large portion of our campus has burned down twice in our history. In 1849, we were located out on the prairie and were called St. Joseph Academy on the Prairie. These two fires, 1849 and 1984, had some interesting similarities. First, despite the devastating losses from the fires, no human life was lost in either fire. Secondly, in each of these two fires, the chapel and residence space for teaching sisters were destroyed. And perhaps most interesting of all, if you transpose the numbers in 1849, you get 1984. Welcome to the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is the geographical and spiritual center of Clark University. The name it bears is the same name as the chapel that was destroyed in the 1984 fire. As you gaze around this beautiful space, one of the most stunning things you will notice is the crucifix at the front of the chapel. This was designed and made by Art Department faculty member Ed Demur in the 1950s. It was a gift from him to the newly opening Mary Josita Hall, and for many generations, it graced the dining room in Mary Josita Hall. Some years ago, it was moved to the chapel space as a more fitting place for a crucifix to appear. BVM core values. There are four BVM core values. They are freedom, education, charity, and justice. These core values have been embraced and adopted by Clark University as their four core values as well. In order to understand our response and rebirth after the 1984 fire, you need to understand these core values. Let's begin with freedom. Freedom involves trusting in God. It entails openness to what is new and different and challenging. And this core value empowers an individual to do what is extraordinary. Perhaps no better early example this core value can be given than that of Mary Frances Clark and her circle of friends that left Dublin to come to America. They had a thriving school in Dublin, were living with their family in the country of their native origin. Yet they felt called by God to leave all of that, to make a dangerous 2.5 month sailboat trip to America in order to teach immigrants here of Irish descent, even though they would know no one in the New World. That is freedom. The second core value is education, and it has two components. First, Education involves self-improvement, the development of one's own potentials so that the individual can better herself or himself in the world. The second element, though, is just as important, and that is the element of other enrichment. A BVM education was never just about the individual's personal growth and gain. It involved the understanding of interdependence with others in the world and an obligation to serve and help those in need. Thus, the value of education involves not just personal gain, but improvement in community and society. The third core value is charity. At its most basic level, charity is about living a life of love, a kind of love that is ultimately unconditional. Father Terence Donahue, for whom our theater building is named, was a co-founder of the BVM congregation. And he said, "It is the responsibility of our community to bring charity to an uncharitable world." Charity involves the power and the courage to make loving choices in our lives. Last but not least is the BVM core value of justice. First, there is an interpersonal aspect here. Justice is about how you treat that person right in front of you, whether it's a colleague, a student, friend, or family member. It involves recognizing the dignity and the worth of every human being in our personal interactions. But justice also has a systemic aspect. We live in a world where there is war rather than peace. Racial inequality and discrimination based upon gender and other characteristics. Justice also calls us to work to change the world in which we live, even if we personally have no responsibility for the tragedies of this world. Armed with an understanding of these four core values that are the values both of the Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Clark University, let's consider the 1984 fire. On the 17th of May, 1984, roofing work on the old historic buildings at the center of our campus had recently been completed. Remaining materials not used in that re-roofing were being stored on Rose O'Toole Hall's roof, the center building of these aged historic buildings. They were being stored under a tarp, and May 17th was a hot, sunny, and very windy day. The heat generated from the sun caused spontaneous combustion of the materials under the tarp. The fire that resulted burned through the roof into an attic that was joined to all the other attics of the old buildings. This wood attic quickly went ablaze, and by the time the fire was extinguished many hours later, historic buildings on our campus have been destroyed. These included Margaret Mann Hall, which was the original building, Rose O'Toole Hall, Mary Bertrand Hall, and the beautiful Sacred Heart Chapel. Freedom as a value in the days of the fire. We see this value in the resolve to go forward and to rebuild. Our president at the time, Catherine Dunn, BVM, was working throughout the day during the course of the fire to contact members of the Board of Trustees to have assurance about rebuilding. And she was on television that night indicating everything would go forward as planned even if a fire had not occurred because of the commitments that had been made to keep this institution strong. For Sister Catherine, a challenge was an opportunity. And 2 years later, after the rebuilding process was completed, Clark was stronger than it had been before. If the BVMs were ever to publish a dictionary, You would not find the word impossible in that dictionary, but you would find the word gumption. Education. The fire occurred on Thursday. Graduation was scheduled but 2 days later, and graduation occurred without a hitch. Summer school was scheduled to start the following Monday, and it did. And the books that were saved from the library were set up in Mary Benedict Hall Terrence Lounge, now the Lion's Den, and that area would serve as our library for 2 years. Charity. Faculty and staff members undertook a number of sacrifices in the years following the fire. Faculty members got roommates for offices until the rebuilding was completed. Staff members moved to dormitory locations, which would serve as their offices for 2 years to come. And the greater Dubuque community helped in many profound ways to help Clark University move forward. Perhaps the most dramatic example of this in the days after the fire was the library book relay. For the books that were not destroyed by fire had become saturated with water, and they needed to be freeze-dried quickly in order to be saved. This involved many volunteers in the days after the fire, passing books outside of the library in the basement of Mary Bertrand Hall. And last but not least, justice in terms of the fire experience. Many of the sisters who were teaching at that time lived on the top floors of the buildings that were destroyed. Some of them, for example, the sister who taught in English at the time, Sarah McGalpin, lost everything. Her office was destroyed. There was nothing left of the entire floor where her bedroom had been. What was left for her was simply the clothes on her back. She and other sisters that faced this tragedy received many donations from the community to help them with clothing, other needs as the days unfolded. The entire university campus focused first and foremost on student needs in order to try to make the transition from the fire to recovery least difficult for them. And when a design was discussed for the replacement buildings, students were at the center of involvement in determining what the new buildings would look like. Indeed, their desire for a courtyard became the covered courtyard that is now our atrium. Now it is time for you to walk about and enjoy this beautiful spiritual space of Sacred Heart Chapel. I have already pointed out Ed Demers' crucifix to you. As you look around the chapel, you will see two white statues of the Holy Family, one of Saint Joseph holding the Christ child, and the other of Mary, the Mother of God. Each of these two statues on the day of the 1984 fire were located in alcoves on opposite sides of the chapel. These alcoves saved these particular statues when the roof collapsed on top of the nave of the Sacred Heart Chapel. Cleaned and preserved, they are part of this space now. Indeed, on this campus, there are many examples of beautiful artifacts saved from the destroyed buildings that have been used in the rebuilding process. The message being that the old is not entirely gone. Part of it is here in the new. As you look to the four corners of the chapel, you will see lines of red brick and stone. And at the end of the red brick lines, you see white stone brackets that are either larger or smaller as part of the corner design. These white stone brackets were hand-carved stone pieces recovered from the spires of the Sacred Heart Chapel. The smaller brackets were just below the roof line of the spires. The larger brackets were at the base of the spire belfries. So what is this message? Surrounding this new spiritual space are the stonework from the Sacred Heart Chapel that for 80 years symbolized the spiritual center of this campus. You will also notice along the one wall, Stations of the Cross. These are symbolic representations of the Station of the Cross, done by art major Mary Gherkin in the late 1980s. She wanted her sculpture to be in the medium of stone. She requested permission and received it to use part of the clear story stone from the destroyed Sacred Heart Chapel to fashion contemporary Stations of the Cross. Such stations in Catholic churches number either 14 or 15. As you count the stations here, you will notice a total of 15. Stations that have 14 stations always end with Christ's body being laid in the tomb. But the story of Christianity never begins with a corpse in a grave. It begins with an empty tomb. You can see that Mary Gherkin embraced that philosophy here, for the last of the carved stations shows the empty tomb. If you look high above the entranceway to this chapel, you'll see a beautiful round rose window, which is 6 feet in diameter. This is the window that used to be in the grand staircase between Rose O'Toole Hall and Mary Bertrand Hall. Prior to this staircase having been closed off, it was a beautiful wooden open staircase that rose 4 stories from the ground to the top floor. And the beautiful light of the sun from the south poured through that rose window for generation after generation of students. As you move towards the entranceway to this chapel, you will notice on either side of the entrance doors stained glass, which is green and gold in color, with inlaid flowers that are lilies. The lily represents the Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this glass was part of Margaret Mann Hall before its destruction by fire. The opaque white glass above the entranceway says Chapel of the Sacred Heart. This is the original 1901 glass from the chapel, which was saved after the fire. Before leaving this space, you will notice to your left several panels explaining other details related to this chapel space, including the bronze corpus of Christ that was on the altar of the old Sacred Heart Chapel the day of the fire and survived it. Take whatever time you want to be part of this spiritual journey within this holy space on this campus. And when you feel ready, you can head down the hallway towards the atrium, and as you enter the atrium to your left are a series of photographs that show the devastation of the fire and then the rebuilding process that occurred after that. Last but not least, before exiting the atrium, you will notice above the welcome desk a half-circle window which represents the BVM Sisters. You can see in the center the BVM logo, and it's in the shape of a lily. Opposite to that, on the other side of the atrium, is another half-circle transom window with a cross on it. These two windows form the entranceway to old Margaret Mann Hall. This now concludes this portion of the Clark University Heritage Tour, focusing on core values and the fire. At this time, you can exit the tour or choose another one that you would like to participate in.